You actually do look as if you're all still awake. That's always a good thing. Good morning. If you don't know who I am, if this is your first Sunday with us, I am Louise, and I have the blessing of being the minister here. Some of you, yeah, it's not a blessing for us, Louise, but there we go. So, good morning. We are continuing thinking about whole life worship. Rosemary, may I have the first picture, please? Would you start me off with the first one? It will appear as if by magic on the screen. We are thinking about whole life worship. That's what we've been thinking about over these last few weeks, how worship shapes us to be disciples of Jesus in our everyday life. In whatever we're doing, whether it's eating, I like that a lot. Sleeping, I like that too. Working, less so. Resting, playing, whatever we're doing. How worship shapes us. And our whole lives are lived as worship for the glory of God. If you've missed a week in this current sermon series, I do encourage you, if you are good with technology, to catch up online on our church website. They're all there. Just click on the button that says Talks. And you can listen to me and to others. What a blessing for you all. So every week we've been looking at how the big picture of how our worship, how what we do here gathered together on a Sunday prepares us to be God's people when we are scattered and living our lives in our Monday to Saturday life. And today we're thinking about our words. It says on the screen, worshiping inspires our everyday speech. What are your words like? How good are we at being tempered and kind and beautiful in the words we say and type? Who's a keyboard warrior here today? Who's lovely in person, but when they get on social media, when you get on Twitter, it all goes wrong. We're thinking about our words and our worship that inspire how we live our lives. Believe it or not, all the words that we have used so far in this service have been carefully thought of before we've said them, hopefully. Because believe it or not, what happens on a Sunday, what you see on the screen, what we sing about, is thought through. Honest. It's the things that aren't thought through. They're little off the cuff remarks that get people annoyed. Our words are important, aren't they? They're significant. Words have impact. Last week, we talked about how we are new creations. When we meet Christ, when his love transforms us, when we hear about the power of the cross, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we begin a new relationship. Jesus takes our sins on himself. He forgives them and gives us a new way to live our lives, and we are changed from that moment. We are new creations. Woohoo! And we're given a new language or a new way of expressing ourselves, a new mindset that changes how we think and how we speak. And often that means our language changes. My friend Mark is an evangelist. Some of you have met him. He did our first curry and comedy night. His dad became a Christian. And he went into work the next day in the factory where he worked in Bradford, in the place where God comes from, in Yorkshire. Guess where I come from? And he did not mention a thing about what had happened the night before when he became a Christian. Nobody knew of his salvation, but something had changed already. For a man who peppered his sentences with interesting linguistic inflections, who could enter swear words into the middle of other words in quite creative ways, he'd not sworn at all by coffee break. And when lunchtime came, not a word. And then afternoon tea break had come and people started noticing. And by the time it came to go home, people were going, what has happened? And he hadn't even realised he wasn't swearing. That is a dramatic change, isn't it? Perhaps for some of us, that change has been a little slower in arriving. Perhaps we're all a work in progress in the words that we use every day. A work in progress when we're cut up in traffic or we drop something heavy on our toes. When we are saved and become new creations, our language becomes different because that reflects lives that are different. Different attitudes, different mindsets. So in a world of grumbling, our changed gospel mindset lets us and helps us think differently. So we seek out blessing deliberately and we give thanks for what we see before us. In a world that reacts to suffering with despair and despondency and cynicism, we learn words that can lament, but we are rooted in hope because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, because of the promises we have for eternity. In a world that fears the stranger, we learn to speak differently, words of welcome and family and kinship. Our words matter. And our words in worship matter. Each week in this sermon series, we've had a short video that gives us a kind of direction of travel for the week. We're going to watch ours together, hopefully. It will work. We will need sound for this. Do you want to click us on? There we go.
Your words of healing and hope, thankfulness and grace, justice and truth, wisdom and love, forgiveness and blessing. Let our words be your words. Touch our mouths with your call and purify our speech. Teach us a new language when we are gathered. When we are scattered, let our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we need.
Let our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet. Wow, I like that. Hold that thought. We'll come back to that. So over these last few weeks, we've been developing the biblical concept of whole life worship, offering everything to God. And our reading is from James today. So you would be expecting that we're reading... Oh, hang on. But reading something like this, about the tongue being a rudder and a fire, and it sets the whole course of one's life on fire. No one can tame the tongue. You'd expect that would be our reading for the day. It's not, though. So it is from from James chapter 5. It's called the Prayer of Faith. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Today we're thinking about the power of our words. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Basically, that's saying that our words reveal something deeper about what the state of our hearts are like. What comes out of us is a reflection of our mindsets and our attitudes and who we are. Would you agree? Yes. Words have power, though, to change our hearts too. And out of his wisdom, James is saying three things to us today. He's saying that all seasons of life are included, everyone is included. Words are directed to God who hears and who acts. So the first one, all seasons of life are included. In those verses from James, we heard about people being in trouble and happy and ill and praying prayers of confession to be forgiven. James talks about every area of our lives being connected to our relationship with God. God's not only interested in our happy, smiley Sunday church faces, because I know that some of you have those faces. We come to church. How are you? Fine, we say, yes. And I know, you know, I know it's not sometimes, but we say that, don't we? We go, yes, yes, it's great, it's fine, over coffee. God's not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. I want to know what's happening because, you know, I'm a nosy minister. God's interested in real and raw, because he's in relationship with us. So James says, if you're in trouble, the answer is to pray. If you go through hard times, sadnesses, stresses, sickness, whatever that could be, James connects the words that we say in prayer to the one who we pray to. Every area of life, be it sadness, be it joy, is part of our worship. We sing songs that declare the goodness of God. James encourages his congregations to bring their whole life experience before God, because God hears and he responds. And the words we sing and the words we pray and the words we speak to one another give us vocabulary to speak to God and to think through our Monday to Saturday lives. They equip us to be disciples when we leave this place, be it Sunday morning or evening. Our words connect us to God and to each other. And God is interested in us, in our happiness, in our trouble, in our illness, in our sin, in our forgiveness. And that shapes us and becomes our new vocab, our new way of looking at the world. And everyone is included. The elders, Everyone, we confess our sins to one another. Everyone has a part to play. James does not say to his churches, "Now, chaps and chapesses, I am in charge. I am James. I am an apostle. I'm the only one who can do anything around here. Sorry. It is how it is, half-brother of Jesus and all." No one is a one-man band or a one-woman band. We need one another. We're in relationship and are accountable to each other. The book of James is all about justice and social action and love poured out as care for one another. And he had a vision of a church where the poor had dignity and the rich shared what they had in order that all had enough. And that made them dependent on one another. And the same is true for us. He encourages his friends to minister to one another, to anoint each other with oil, to be real and accountable, to have a different way of living in a world that says we're all to be self-sufficient. And that's the biggest sin of our day, our self-sufficiency. Relying on one another is a kingdom way of living. I was reminded this week of this phrase, "No man is an island unto himself," by John Donne. No man is an island. Nobody is just by themselves apart. We need one another. And we together, gathered and scattered, need one another. God hears our words, our worship, and our prayers. Because they're directed to God, God is here this morning. Who knew? When we sing, be it Eric or Kath leading our music, we are not singing to Eric. I mean, he's lovely. But Eric don't need our singing. God hears our prayers and our singing. That's who our singing is for. Our worship is for God. When Colin led us in prayer earlier on, unsurprisingly, we're not praying to Colin. He's good. He's not that good, though. Our prayers are to God. Our thanksgiving is to God because he hears us and he acts. Sometimes not in the way we want, sometimes not in the way we're expecting, and often not to our timing. He's listening, and that's what makes our words powerful. We have a hotline to the Almighty in heaven. Who knew? Our bended knee is powerful. Our worship and our words are powerful. And the example James uses of Elijah in the Old Testament, who brought his earnest prayers to God over a national calamity. He prayed and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Wow, that's a prayer and a half. He prays again and it does. Crumbs, crumbs. But he was an ordinary man whose prayers were heard by God. God hears our prayers. Our words are heard by heaven. Our everyday words. Wow. So let our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet, our video says. We want that language to reflect Jesus Christ, don't we? We do not want to be the people that put other people off Jesus. Well, I've met some Christians. Not going near the church. Have you met Colin Usher? He's a weirdo. Maybe an element of truth in that. No, sorry, Colin. Our language is to glorify God and to reflect the one who we live and breathe and who we serve. We don't want to put people off. Our language is to breathe heaven into the lives of our friends and our family and our community. Even our work colleagues, even our mother-in-laws, even our bosses, even that person who we don't like, even that person on the internet who voted a different way than you and you think is a numpty. Our language is to breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet. So what could that be for you this week? Have a think about, what are you doing this week? Who will you meet? Where will you go? What are you doing? How could your language breathe heaven to the lives of those you meet? It could be as simple as the conversation that you're having with somebody who says, you know, I've had this pain in my chest. It's not gone away. I think I might need to go to the doctor. You could say, do you know what? Can I pray for you? That's not hard, is it? It could be the encouragement that you give someone. It could be the words to say that you've noticed what somebody is going through. It could be actively trying to stop being negative in what you say. Negative about yourself, negative about other people, negative about what you type, or cynical. Maybe you're a whinger. No, we don't have any whingers in this congregation. Let the Holy Spirit challenge that. Maybe there's someone at work that you really don't like. And it's just so easy to have a bit of a gossip about them when you're making a cup of tea. Oh, do you know I can't? Do you know she's annoying me? May the Holy Spirit challenge us about the words that we use. Some ancient words of the church from Psalm 19 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And that's our prayer, that God would use us, our words and our ways, our worship, to breathe the language of heaven to those who don't yet know him. May our words be pleasing to God. Let us pray together. Father God, thank you that you're always interested in every aspect of our lives, that you are present with us, not just now, but tomorrow and the rest of the week. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us the truth and wisdom about the words that we speak. In our workplaces, in our family, in our homes, would you hold up our words to an imaginary magnifying glass? And would you help us reflect on them in God's presence? Would you help us see that our words are to reflect the hope of Christ within us? Would you help us use our words to reflect the Father's love? So God, would you reveal to us the power of our words this week? This week, as we're going about our everyday life, would you prompt us? Would you nudge us? Would you lead us? And as we approach communion, we come and we ask for your forgiveness for when our words have not been a language of heaven or brought you glory. We thank you that you are the Lamb of God, that you bear the sin of the world, and that you forgive us, and you love us, and you change and transform us. Loving God, would you help our words and our worship? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.